following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A Monday filled with Nebraska football talk, Kansas City Royals talk, Lopers, Broncos. Very busy time, as it always. I think we always say very busy time, but it just seems like with the high school transition right now, we've got the basketball team starting to practice a little bit. So it is that transition. Fall wrapping up, winter beginning, and Hastings College has a basketball game next Friday, Jimmy. Next Friday.
Isn't that something?
That's too early.
They play, when is it again? They play
next Friday.
Next
Halloween.
Friday.
Yeah, the 31st.
There you go.
They play basketball in October.
There you go. Yeah, I'm reffing a game next Monday, believe it or not. So, yeah, the season's getting ready to go.
So there you go. Jimmy Langan, as always, co-host today. We'll take a look at what happened over the weekend. We'll look at our selections. We'll look at Pigskin Pick'em. Bo Pelini's press conference comes your way at around the bottom of the hour. And we are also pleased to talk with Monty Kratzenstein, who has slid into the studio here today because he's jacked up about the win on Saturday night.
That's exactly. I canceled everything on my schedule just to come in here and talk about the big win.
I had some people ask me this. Does Nebraska take fall break? Well, they're on fall break apparently right now. And the football team, they've got a little different regimen the next couple of days that they can do, I guess, getting ready for Rutgers. And I say that because we always get updated by Seamus and Keith and the guys down there in Lincoln saying, hey, you know, if you're coming to the press conference on Monday, you might want to come early because the guys can come early, and then they got a lift and blah, blah, blah. Monty, no. Are you telling me the football team today, because they have fall break, is changing their routine? No, they're not.
They're not. They're getting more sleep because they can sleep in this morning.
Well, then there you go.
They don't have to go to class.
So that's the change in the routine.
I think so.
Okay.
They have more time to fit in there. Whatever mandatory time for meetings and lifting, and now I get to talk to you guys.
Jimmy, I want to start with you, though. Jeff has already told me how we did in Pigskin Pick'em, and you can give me those results because you're the winner. Did Notre Dame get hosed in the end?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I've made that same call before that they made. I've made that call, exactly that call. And what happens is you'll have a guy, and usually what happens, it's a back coming out of the backfield. This was not a back coming out of the backfield. Usually what you'll have a tailback or a fullback that'll come out of the backfield, and that end will just block down, and it'll take that guy that's supposed to be guarding him. You know, like it could be a linebacker that's supposed to have one-on-one cover, or a defensive back's going to pick him up at the goal line. But the problem of it was, is how blatant he did it. He didn't give the referee an opportunity to pass on that, because you will get graded on that. You will get in trouble with not making that call. And that's the one thing about refereeing that people don't maybe realize is our job is to get the blatant ones. It's not the might have been. Hey, that might have been a hold. That might have been pass interference. That might have been a face mask. That's not what we're getting in trouble for. What we're getting in trouble for is when it really shows up on film and you did not make that call.
And I guess the irritating thing, especially to the Notre Dame fan, is that the guy could have just put his hands behind his back and bumped into him, because it really, whether he held him or not, that guy wasn't coming over to cover the play anyway. The play would have worked without him making any contact with that guy. Now, that's the rub, the pick. I didn't even think it was a true pick. He just went up and locked up his guy, so that's not a pick.
That's another good point, Doug, because sometimes when you're officiating, that is something, that's all the information that you gather. And I'll give you an example of that. Let's say in baseball, that there's a ball hit to deep left field, almost off the wall, and some guy goes back and dives and runs into the wall and makes the catch. Well, the runner on third tags and scores. Well, if the runner on third maybe was 6 inches early, I'm not going to call him out on that play, because that guy wasn't even getting up to make a throw.
Yeah.
You know, they're all running around and go, so there are some times where you go and hold it. You know, this isn't a good time to make that call because of what happened. So I agree with you on that situation. That's gathering all the information you can on the play.
Monty, college football player, just your thoughts on that, because what everybody's saying, well, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. Well, it's so blatant. But again, the problem was it didn't need to happen. They could have ran that play, and the guy was wide open. I mean, there was no way that the guy that was getting blocked was – that wasn't even his – I don't know. There's so many ways to look at it.
Well, first of all, let's not forget one thing. Notre Dame outplayed Florida State.
Yeah.
Okay. So at their place, they could have, should have, would have won, whatever. Unfortunately, it came down to that last play. The referees, in my opinion, absolutely got it correct. Absolutely got it correct. You have to call that, because that made all the difference in the world. It was, Jimmy, you said it. You agree. You've seen that a lot of different times. If it's kind of a tweener, they aren't going to call it. It wasn't a tweener. The guy came in with his hands inside, his elbows up like he was throwing a block. And the other guy actually said an illegal pick, too. I mean, that was kind of the tweener. The second guy was kind of the tweener as well. You have to call it. If he's running and he puts his hands up as he's kind of going through and it gets a bump, or if there's a collision and he's looking at the ball, it wasn't anything close. So, and I had a real problem with the press conference afterwards, because again, Brian Kelly to me loses some credibility by saying, you know, they bust the coverage and they got rewarded for it. That's garbage to me.
Mm-hmm.
I really lost some respect on that whole deal. Credit your team. You outplayed them for the whole game. That was the right call.
If it's an illegal play, why do you call it?
Say that again.
If it's an illegal play, why would your offensive coordinator / head coach call an illegal play? When you call, this is where the Chip Kelly thing comes in for me, or Brian Kelly thing comes in for me. If you make the, you're the one that made the call. You knew that's part of the play, so you got busted for it. You can't really whine about it, because you're the one that made the call.
I don't think that they were coached to go in there and make it look like a block.
I don't either. I agree with that. As a coach, our job is...
They're still coached to rub, pick, and we all know that that's garbage and illegal. It is every time that you make that play. Now, that's a bigger picture topic, but I mean, all coaches call it. They got caught.
Doug, I'll tell you what used to happen, and Monty will understand this too. I mean, and I think you do too. This isn't something that you have to be a head coach to understand. But we were taught, used to be taught, if a receiver came over the field and they threw a pass high, you were to unload on him and just clean his clock. Now we have to reteach that, because that's an illegal play.
Yeah.
That is illegal. It used to not be illegal. That was a fair hit. You could hit the guy like that. That was fair. It was a clean hit. As hard as you wanted to,
then
you could
didn't come over the middle.
You were taught that. But I don't think you're taught this. You're taught, hey, if those guys get in there, you can get as much congestion as you can in there. Somebody might get open. But, I don't think you're really taught to make a screen on that like you would be in basketball. In basketball, you kind of made a pick and roll screen, some things like that. But
I've had this argument with people before, and you can see what you think from an official standpoint. See what you think. There are certain times when there's a 50-50 call. You said it's their job to get the blatant calls right. It's a 50-50, 60-40 sort of a call in basketball or whatever. And you've heard people say you don't make that call at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You might make it in the second quarter. And I know you don't agree with that, Doug. I've heard you talk about that in the basketball standpoint. Here's the thing. That play was run on the other side of the field earlier on. It wasn't nearly as blatant. There's a little bit of a bump. Play went. It wasn't called. In that setting, everybody in the country watching that play on the goal line, you have to call that play. I would compare it to how many times you talked about hitting the guy over the middle. How many times when a guy is crossing the field on a crossing pattern and that defensive back comes around and he's got his arm wrapped around behind and he slaps the ball away. 90% of the time, maybe more, that's a penalty. Where 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that used to be a 50-50 call, or that didn't used to be a penalty. Okay,
now, I agree.
Now, think about this one. If you remember Kenny Bell going down the field on the long pass in the first quarter, or first half, went down there, and the safety, they're going vertical. They're not going across the field. They're going vertical. He does the exact same thing. He wraps him around with his left hand, goes over, and is a little bit early, knocks the ball down. On that play, right or wrong, an official very seldom will call that wraparound call on the long pass when they're both going up vertically as opposed to the horizontal, which 99% of the time it's a penalty. Now, again, we get into the why is that, but it's true.
Yeah. You know, interference, I mean, to me, with the interference, that doesn't mean there's contact. I mean, that doesn't mean, when two people tangle their feet, they're not going to call that. But I wanted Notre Dame to win for a lot of reasons. but I still think that it was blatant. And I made that call in a danger football game. I remember making that almost that exact same call in a danger football game, which is really a different because of the way that type of field is. It is so congested that everybody's getting rubbed and et cetera, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the bottom line, guys. It cost me the pigskin pick'em contest. That's the bottom line here. That's all that matters. It makes Jimmy the winner. He went 6-4. The caller Tyler and I went 5-5. I think we were all right there on our predictions. I said 31-17. It was 38-17. But the total points then obviously were closer to you guys. Tyler would have been right on. He picked 55. So good job there. You know what that got you, Tyler? Nothing. You already got the big dally deli. So $20 in the Cunningham's Cash Vault for this Friday's Pigskin Pick'em, which will be part of state cross country, by the way. So you look at some of these other games, Maryland over Iowa. Now, Iowa officially, I don't know. That was my pick in the West. That helps Nebraska when they lose. Wyoming lost in overtime. Notre Dame loses at the end. There were some good football games out there. And then I guess it would be interesting today to listen to Oklahoma Sports Talk Radio, where I'm sure they're roasting the kicker, but give me a break. When's the last time they won anything? They keep telling me how good Oklahoma's supposed to be. How frustrated, Monty, would Nebraska fan be? Where would Jason Peter be if he was Oklahoma? If he was with Oklahoma, they're in the top 10 every single year, no matter what they did the year before. Colin Cowherd's praising them nationally, and that's fine. You always got to pick somebody that's not in the SEC to hitch your wagon to. But Oklahoma loses to Kansas State at home, their second conference loss. They lose to TCU and Kansas State. Can you imagine if Nebraska, whatever, we have lost? That's got to be worse than losing to Minnesota and Iowa, doesn't it? I mean, they're picked to be there. They're picked to be there. Oklahoma's, a lot of people thought that they were a Final Four playoff team. And then they've proven they're far from it. And they keep saying how great Bob Stoops is. It's like saying, Kirk Ferentz is, and his guys, I mean, they maybe are good coaches, but they haven't produced in years. And I'm just saying that all this stuff, all the Bo haters that are still out there keep heaping all this crap on the coaching staff, and you look around the country and find that there are supposedly better programs that can't do any better than what they're doing here. You have to have everything be perfect to win anymore. There are not 20 teams, or I don't even know what you would have said when you played, Monty. I would say there were probably 20 programs, and that might be high, that had a chance to win a national championship. Maybe 10.
I mean, yeah.
Now, you don't have to be in the top 25 to start the season to have a chance because somebody is going to run the table. It's Mississippi right now. Mississippi and Mississippi State are those teams right now this year. Coming out of nowhere as far as going from a 3 or 4 loss team to a no loss team potentially.
By the way, one of your best rants ever. That was well done. You need to get a drink.
And I like
that. Was, that was
I don't
good.
Know why.
Well, have we learned nothing else other than don't jump on a team. Don't jump on a team and say they're so good. Don't
Every
jump on a coach and say they're so good, they're so great, this coach is this. It's week to week. We've said it for years. It's more so this year. Just look at all the great look at all the really, really good one-loss teams there are. Now, can you say without a shadow of a doubt that any one of those one-loss teams are fill in the adjective, great, destined for the Final Four? You can't do it. That's what makes it fun, though. We've got 7-8 weeks or whatever left until the very end. That's what makes it fun.
Jimmy, you got a point for me?
Well, the only point I have, and I think you've made a good point about Nebraska and not being disappointed if Nebraska goes 10-2, 9-3. You know, I think that's your point. And you look at these, look at Michigan, Florida, and Texas. Those programs, year in and year out, have got great teams. Now, they all could have a losing record this year. Michigan, Florida, and Texas probably won't get bowl eligible. Some disappointments this year. South Carolina, it rated started in the top 10. UCLA started in the top 10. Oklahoma started, I think, in the top five. LSU started in the top 10. And USC was in the top 15. And their program, they're struggling just getting anybody. Stanford, definitely another program. Yeah, and thank you. Stanford was the other program that is really struggling right now. And not me. Now, you take a look at like Ohio State and Alabama, they're still hanging around. It's not sold on which way they're going to go. But Ohio State and Alabama are hanging around. They were in that elite group of five, but they're hanging around. They might eventually make it. But those other programs, you know, you're talking about those places, they're looking for maybe new football coaches. Except for Texas.
We're going to need to take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Bo Pelini's press conference coming up, and more specifically on the Huskers in our next break here. Just a couple of other, I've got so many things that I know we're not going to get to on Monday, so I'm going to hit them right here before we go into the break. If you want to join us with an email or a tweet to comment on anything that we've been talking about or haven't been talking about, the Twitter address is at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. As always, the Dent Popper email, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. So we talked about Florida State, Notre Dame. We talked about Maryland. We talked about Oklahoma. Okay, Noah Johnson is a stud at Sutton. He carried it 57 times in an incredible football game with St. Cecilia. These two teams have proven that they are going to go deep, if not meet again, in the state semifinals. Of course, with the way it is this year, there's no East and West, so who knows? Maybe a state final. The Rams fake punt to beat the Seahawks yesterday, lauded as one of the greatest calls ever, and it was because it was executed. The kid from UCLA against Cal was out of bounds. That was not an interception. And A&M, are we talking about them? You mentioned them a little bit. I mean, Nebraska's, well, I can't say never anymore, but let me just say, how can you get beat 59-0 when you have a Heisman Trophy quarterback? The Breeders' Cup is right around the corner. We'll talk more about that next week. We've got Monday Night Football tonight with the Texans and the Steelers. And it was on after the game. I will watch Unbeaten overnight tonight. I've got volleyball. I'm going to DVR it, and then I'm going to watch it when we get home. But rave reviews about the life story documentary of Brooke Boehringer, which was on after the game. I was disappointed that you got how many hours over the weekend after the game, and they didn't reshow it at 2 in the morning sometime, but so you could DVR. But it will be on again tonight in case you missed it on the Big Ten Network. Don't forget, it's Chevy Truck Month at your Midway Chevy Buick Cadillac dealer, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Go to thinkmidway.com and find out more details. Maybe you just need some tires, oil change, get you in and out in 30 minutes. They'll take you back to work or home. They'll pick you up. They make it very convenient for you. And during Chevy Truck Month, check out the supplier pricing, the customer cash, and bonus cash, trade assists. It's all coming in to give you more money back and save you money on the Silverados, whether they're 1500s, 25, 3500, regular, crew, double cabs. They're all there for you. Chevy Truck Month at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
and we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner Liske McBride and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services.
What's so grand about the Grand Italian Buffet at your Hastings Valentino's? Start with your favorite pizza pies, salads with all the fixings, pastas from spaghetti to lasagna, and sauces to make the variations practically endless. The breadsticks and the Valentino's desserts. I could go on, but you probably want to get going. Valentino's Grand Italian Buffet, your Hastings Valentino's. Open weekdays, 11 till 2 and from 5 till 8:30. Open till 9 Fridays and open all day on weekends with a Sunday brunch from 10 until 2.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As more sunshine stays with us through the day today, we'll top off at about 73 for a high. Winds will also stay variable at 5 to 10. Then with clear skies, tonight will fall to 44, followed by highs in the mid-70s Tuesday. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Special guest Monty Kranzenstein talking a little football with us. Bo Pelini's press conference right around the corner. And folks, Monday Night Football, or just have a good lunch today, try the Kearney Chicken Coop for the best of both worlds, the original sports bar and grill. A lot of places say they're both, but no one combines the best of both like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And thanks to them, Monday doesn't have to be blue. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill lunch special on Monday from 11 to 4 is a steak sandwich with your choice of side, only $7.49. And from 2 to 5.30, you get specials on their appetizers, long necks, and draws as well. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney, the best of both worlds with their Monday night koozie special as well. Stop by and check them out anytime. Open 7 days a week because, well, you're hungry 7 days a week, too. Let's talk a little Husker football here, Monty. Again, what kind of football team does Nebraska have? The last two games, it appears that they've played a half of football, which they haven't. But, I mean, they've been stronger in the second halves of both football games. But the one thing that struck me in the post-game press conference, which maybe, unfortunately, will harken me back to the blacker days of Bill Callahan, is that when he was asked, Coach Pelini was asked, what changes did you make going into the second half? Why did the defense play better? Why did things click? What was going on? And Bo said, well, we really didn't change anything. We just, Monty, they had to change something. Or I think all of a sudden, I mean, isn't that the deal? You're supposed to make adjustments at halftime. They may not be visible to the non-football playing, ex-football playing eye. But just your thoughts on that. Did they change or did they just start playing better? And if that's the case, you got other questions that go, well, why are they flat in the first half? What's going on?
Just your thoughts on that.
First of all, if you're looking for any insight into what was going on at halftime or whatever, don't talk to Bo Pelini after the game because he's not going to give it to you, period. Have we learned nothing besides that? Here's what he could have said. He said, you know, we decided that we didn't need to blitz quite as much. We played less man-to-man because we were getting hurt on the crossing routes against the man-to-man defense and also backs out of the backfield. So we decided to try to get some more pressure with just our front four. We decided to put our linebackers, continue to play nickel, and put our linebackers in the middle of the field to stop that crossing pattern and hope that we could get pressure with our front four, which, as it turned out to be, we could. How's that? Because that was the adjustment that the one adjustment they'd made. They tackled better, but that isn't a halftime adjustment. I mean, everybody can say you got to tackle better, but that was the adjustment that they made from a defensive standpoint. He's not going to say that, but that's the adjustment they made.
Nathan Carney from the Dent Popper inbox here. He's got two totally different questions, I guess. First, big picture for Bo and the future of this season. We sat here on Friday. Jimmy and I both believe that Nebraska, you picked Northwestern,
yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah, real quick, when you were talking about the game, one of the things that was really critical about this football game is a player that got injured. And we're talking about our defense. How come the defense did so much better in the second half? Well, you take away a guy that had a great first half, and that player gets hurt. And that kind of, I thought that really affected Northwestern's offense. And Nebraska continued to have a good field position the whole second half. Northwestern started almost every drive inside the 15-yard line.
Well, I thought Nebraska, again, this season has not really played out any different than I thought it would in July. There are some small things like Armstrong's play that started out a little bit better than I thought it would, and then every once in a while you see him struggle a little bit. But I thought Nebraska would win. I thought they would cover. I picked them by 14. I could have went 20, 17, 21, which was what it was, because I was pretty confident that Nebraska was the much better football team, and that after a while, this whole, my God, we play close every year thing has got to go out the window, and it did on Saturday. So I'm still not in a whole lot of different spots. It's just that what I saw from Iowa is concerning. What I'm seeing from Minnesota is concerning because now they've moved into the top 25. I still think there is a potential. Even if Nebraska plays well, Monty, there is definitely potential for one more loss on the season. But right now, there's a possibility that one loss, depending on who it's to, could still not matter, and Nebraska gets to Indianapolis, which is the whole point of this thing anyway.
There's no doubt that if we play like we did the first half of the game, we could lose to multiple teams. If we play like we did in the second half, we could run the table. We'll go into every single game favored by a touchdown or more,
except
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin,
and that right now would probably be about a pick'em sort of a game?
Sure, right now. In fact, last week Wisconsin was favored by 3.5 in Vegas, but that'll go down after Nebraska covered, because Nebraska's covered every week except McNeese State.
And that wasn't the line because it was an FCS game,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing real quick, because we've got Twitter coming in. Good job. At least not in Vegas. You could find it somewhere.
When in the studio, you do like the studio guys do, right, Jimmy?
The other thing here from Nate is, why the sudden parity in the Big 12? Nate, thanks for the questions. I had a friend of mine think that Nebraska would be getting rolled up if they were in the Big 12, and I disagreed with him. Had we been in another setting, I would have vehemently disagreed with him. But your thoughts, the parity in the Big 12, and are they a great conference?
No, they're not a great conference, but they are what they are, and that's a lot of good teams. The style is not conducive to the video, the guy people watching on TV. That's the problem, the style. There's a lot of pretty good teams, and the style of their play will give a lot of teams trouble, but they're not going to beat a lot of the elite teams with their style. By the way, don't sleep on Ohio State. I mean, they got beat by Virginia Tech, and all of a sudden you haven't heard anything about them. They're a pretty good football team right now, and that Michigan State-Ohio State game, that'll
still
be fun.
Still a couple of weeks away on November the 8th. We got to wait for it. The good thing is that's the Nebraska bye week, so you can just
plug that in as the game in place. Nebraska, here you go. Monty Kratzstein, Jimmy Lang, and I'll throw it out here. Maybe each one of you can take one. Nebraska 6-1, yet what drives talk sports radio, and maybe all radio with talk shows, is the other side, the yeah, but, the negativity, the yeah, but. And here's a couple of those. This comes from Scott, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm just saying this comes from Scott, who says, well, what do you know? The Huskers subbed on the O-line and went 3-for-3 on touchdown drives with backups to Sterup, Pelini, and Mike Maddie. Monty?
Okay.
Is that why we went? Is that why everything changed?
Was it a coincidence that we scored when those guys were in there? Maybe not, but I'll tell you something else. Those guys, if you put in fresh bodies, don't discount the fact that those other guys were doing a pretty good job, and all of a sudden you put fresh guys in. It's kind of like the body punches in a boxing match. Don't discount the body punches, and then late something big happens. And I don't see a problem with rotation. In fact, I like rotation as long as guys are pretty even. That Michigan State game was a little bit of a weird game because of the rotation, how close it was, and I think they have to rotate in the defensive line and the offensive line. I don't disagree with that, but I don't think you can put all that credence on, what do you know, those three guys were in and we scored.
Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up. As soon as he heads to the table, we will throw it over there. This comes from the Husker Avenger, the nagging Husker. I don't know which way he wants me to refer to him as, but he says, I'm still not convinced Armstrong is the right guy for Nebraska. His passing game is subpar. He has a great deep ball, but if a team stops the run like Michigan State, he's going to struggle again. History says yes. Why not give another quarterback a chance? Jimmy, ex-coach.
Well, the thing of it is you want to, as a head coach, you've got to be loyal to your quarterback because he's got the ball in his hand most of the time. He's going to make most of the decisions. So you've got to be loyal to him and let him know that this is the guy. If you make mistakes, you're still going to be in. I'd hate to be playing quarterback, and if I made a mistake, I'm out. For the guy that brought that in, do you know how many turnovers Nebraska had? I wish they'd have had one. Because I'm out of one, but they didn't have any turnovers. That's the job of your quarterback. I thought he played a really good game. He had a couple of receivers, and they dropped the ball. Some nice passes right to some people that were open in the first half. It wasn't all his fault. Northwestern, had a nice drive. They went 89 yards, I think, on the first time they got the ball and went right down the field and scored.
And we sucker those other teams in. We make them feel comfortable.
And then right after Nebraska went down and scored, that was a great answer. When we were down 14-7, we answered. In fact, we answered it too quick that Northwestern came down and kicked a field goal. But, I don't think he was the problem. I really don't. The offensive line, the guy that made the comment on the offensive line, hey, our offensive line was struggling. It was time for a little change there. It didn't hurt to do that. And a lot of times, people don't realize this, a lot of times they don't take them all out. They take one guy out and they rest him that way. There's an interchangeable things where they might go from guard to left guard to right tackle. When there's an injury, they make those switches real quick.
Nebraska's at a point in the season, Monty, where you don't just throw in, and I want Riker Fife to have all the success in the world, but he is now the number two quarterback. You don't just pick out a series in the second quarter of a Big Ten game that is tight and throw in the other guy. You don't take out Amir Abdullah to bring in Amani Cross for a whole quarter. You might bring him in for a run or two to give him a break, but that's not the way it works.
There's a reason why they have practice, by the way. There's a reason why they rep things. And Riker Fife is I think, would be a good backup if need be. Tommy Armstrong is the quarterback. I'm so the anti-put-the-backup-in guy. You've made those decisions. A guy has to know that he can make a mistake and still be the guy.
Got more players up at the podium in Lincoln, so Bo Pelini is still a couple of minutes away. We'll take a break. Be back with more Husker Talk on a Monday Doug and Daddy Show.
If you represent an organization that typically refers job openings, particularly to women and minorities, and would like to be notified of openings at Platte River Radio, an equal opportunity employer, please send contact information to generalmanager@kkpr.com or mail to General Manager, P.O. Box 130, Kearney, Nebraska, or P.O. Box 726, Hastings, Nebraska, 68902.
In Enjoy family fun for less with Shop Wheeler Dealer gift certificates to the Scarecrow Patch, the pumpkin patch that has everybody talking. Open through October. Log on to shopwheelerdealer.com where you buy local and save big to get daily deals of the day via text. Text the words Wheeler Dealer to 90210. Enjoy family fun for less with Shop Wheeler Dealer gift certificates to the Scarecrow Patch, the pumpkin patch that has everybody talking.
Come one, come all in your best costume to the Hastings Family YMCA Halloween Party on Friday, October 24th from 6 until 8. You will enjoy ghoulish games, creepy crafts, and a monstrous maze. This Hastings Family Y Halloween event is free to the public, so don't miss out. Hey kids, do you need more frightening fun? Children in grades 2 to 6 are invited to stay late from 10 until 6 a.m. for our annual Halloween overnighter. The fee for the overnighter is $20 for members and $40 for non-members. Don't miss out on the Halloween fun on Friday, October 24th. At the Y.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Getting ready to hear from Husker football coach Bo Pelini and the folks at TNL. Just like Husker football, durable and there for you every single week. Now for a limited time, TNL Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter mile long TNL pivot. Get decades of reliability with a TNL pivot system. All you have to do is visit your local TNL dealer or go to TLIRR.com. You're out in the field, harvest going well. It looks like a lot of folks are starting to wind it down. Get ready for TNL. Get yourself ready for 2015. I want to thank Monty Krasenstein for coming in, and we will have our recap of Bo Pelini's press conference. When he's done, let's go to Lincoln with Coach Pelini.
How nice is it to get back home now after almost a month being on the road?
You know, I tell you, it's going to be nice not playing a night game. And, you know, five night games in a row wears on you, and three of them on the road, and you know, I'm looking forward to playing some day games and, you know, especially three of those being on the road. You know, I worry about, you know, probably in that respect, our bye week came at a good time. And really this fall break came at a good time for our kids to, you know, get their, you know, could be able to take a breath because it was, it just wears on you. You get back late at night. And I know me, I was worn down. I was really worn down yesterday. And I think it just takes its toll on you. And I'm glad that, we kind of have that part of the schedule behind us. And, you know, we might have a night game coming up. I don't even know as far as how that's going to work as the season goes on. But, it was a tough stretch and, like I said, it's going to be good to get back home here for a couple weeks.
So how tough has that been, balancing practice and all that when you guys get back late and all that late night stuff?
Well, we've looked for our ways to, you know, we've altered the schedule a little bit and given our guys a chance to get their legs back on the Sundays and as far as, you know, how we've handled our Sundays, you know, seeing that we've been getting back at, you know, one day as late as 6 a.m. Obviously we went down to Fresno, but we've been getting back pretty late at night. And so it's kind of, we've had to adjust our Sunday schedules a little bit. We've stayed with our Monday off, but it just kind of throws you off. And like I told our guys, I said, you have to be disciplined. You have to be disciplined to make sure you get in bed and get your rest early in the week, because otherwise, you know, you spend a week trying to catch up. And, I'm glad that part of the schedule's behind us.
So how impressed have you been with what Nate Gary's done at St. Pete this year, kind of taking hold of that position?
You know, I think Nate, he had a great spring. a really good fall camp. I think he gets more comfortable every day. I think his experience of playing up last year, helped him. It gives you I don't think he was real comfortable with that last year, especially early on. But I think that experience of dealing with the run fits and the things that you have to at the second level really help things come together for him from the safety position, because we do use the safeties a lot in our run fits and as far as understanding how to play up there. And he had that experience obviously playing in high school, playing safety, but I think that exposed him and gave him a whole nother level of exposure and has made him a better player. Because I think his understanding of what's happening around him is really good. And really, Coop went through that same thing. I think that's beneficial to a large extent, because because you got to understand the run fits and the gaps and all those types of things that probably haven't been exposed to as a high school player. He has great ball skills. And, he's just a lot more comfortable deep, than where he was. Because he actually struggled some in coverage a year ago at the second level, from the linebacker position. But it was more because his eyes were in the wrong place. He was used to playing it from a deeper level. Now you see, he's very, very natural back there at the safety position. And that becomes more obvious. I mean, he makes great plays on the football, has a good feel and really good instincts at the position.
How happy are you with your third down defense so far this year?
At times I've been really happy with it. At times, I think we got to be a little bit more consistent at times. As far as getting off the field and executing our third down, our third down pressures and such, we've been it's been odd because we see a lot of different things. We get a lot of people who play us a little bit different on third down, so you got to make adjustments during the game because I think teams get a little bit wary of our pressure packages and play us a little different than what you see on film. And so you got to be ready to make some quick adjustments as to what you're seeing and how they're seeing it, and how they're going to protect. Sometimes because they're so concerned about where Randy Gregory is and that type of thing, you got to be ready to make some quick adjustments. I think we've been able to do that and take advantage of some things, and early in the game the other day, we were right on to some people and we didn't make some plays, which hurt us in a couple of drives where they were able to convert. And then I thought we settled in and played some pretty good third down defense as the game went on.
Traditionally, your defenses have been good at that on third down. I mean, unusually good, better than most. Why do you think that is?
We spend a lot of time on it. And we spend a lot of time on protections, on how we can exploit what teams are doing. We make some adjustments from week to week, and we try to be creative in what we're doing and give a lot of different looks, and to try to not only pressure wise but coverage wise to kind of try to take away what teams are trying to do. And And it takes time. You got to put some time into it and make sure the guys have a good understanding of it. And I think our guys have a good understanding of what we're doing, mix it up a little bit. And it comes down to execution. It comes down to, everybody being where they're supposed to be and doing their job.
Any extra challenge preparing for Rutgers since you haven't seen them in the past, almost kind of non-conference?
I spent some of the bye week looking at them prior to, after I took a look at Northwestern, I went and, started taking a look at Rutgers. But, like you say, it's like playing a new opponent. We haven't played these guys before, and trying to familiarize yourself with what they do. You know, I got a little bit of a jump. I know Tim got a little bit of a jump during the bye week. But, you know, there's one thing seeing them on film. Another thing is, you know, playing them live, seeing them live, what they do and how they're going to attack us. You know, there's not a lot of history there. So I'm sure there's going to be some adjustments that are going to have to be made on both sides, you know, because, you know, we're new to them too.
They lost that running back. James was the name, one of the better running backs they've had there. What have you seen them do different without him?
They kind of do what they do. They're not, they're going to have one or two specific packages, you know, or plays that they're going to do. You know, you see kind of week to week, they kind of, you know, have their 90% of what they're going to do, and they're not going to change that 90%. And then that 10% changes according to what opponent they're facing. So they haven't changed a whole heck of a lot. You know, you got to have a philosophy. And I know Coach Friedgen and Coach Flood, you know, they have what they believe, and they're going to do what they do. And yeah, I'm sure they're going to adjust some things because of our structures and the things that they think may be there, or things they want to try to exploit. But for the most part, they're going to run what they run. They're going to run their offense and their defense and try to execute at a high level.
And there's play when you had a chance to watch it back.
Okay. I thought we got better as the game went on. We missed some tackles early on in that game, and which hurt us. We not just those two guys. I mean, I should say it was more. Trevor was in there more early than Bando was, but really across the board, we had some leaky yardage that hurt us and some missed tackles and, that hurt us early on. I thought that, you know, for whatever reason, I thought the tempo got to us early on and we were prepared. I thought we were prepared for it, but I don't think we reacted real well early on to certain things. And you know what, when you have opportunities to get off the field on third down, you miss a tackle here and, you know, miss a tackle there in the run game, and all of a sudden it becomes a play that should be a tackle for a loss or a short gain, and ends up being 15, 20 yards. It kind of gets you on your heels. And that's what we have to fix, in my opinion, early on, is drives go on against us. You know, you're not going to go three and out every series. Well, I'd like to, but you're not going to. But when teams get you reeling a little bit, you gotta, you know, we have to make a play, and we have to put a stop to it and when you're missing tackles or you're playing, you know, fundamentally, you don't do what you need to do. And that's what we got to get better at.
Did you feel, when you went back and looked at it, about offensive line depth, you know, with Reeves, Chongo, and Price getting some time, how did you feel they did?
I thought they did well. I thought they did some really good things. I thought all three of those guys did some good things. And for the most part, I thought we played pretty well up front. Like I said, I thought just like a lot of other areas, I thought we got better as the game went on. We stayed with the run game. I thought Tim, did a good job of mixing it up and continued to stay with, found some different structures to run the football out of, and found some ways that we thought we could exploit them. And I thought it got better as the game went on. You know, it's easy to get discouraged when you hit a couple plays here or there. We saw how they changed up a couple things, how they were fitting to run, and some things that we had, some plans we had going in. They fitted a little bit differently. We made a couple of adjustments and were able to exploit them, you know, exploit some things that we didn't think were going to be there going in. And I thought we did a good job with that. And obviously, our third down offense in the second half was very good. We We were able to make some big-time third-down conversions that really helped us. Tommy made some big-time throws in that second half, and you know, some conversions that really helped us to keep drives alive.
Bo, Tommy's a dozen starts into this, but do you still feel like sometimes you're learning a little bit about him as far as how he reacts to adversity, how he reacts to being challenged, like Tim said, how he reacts to when things are good? Is it seem like this an ongoing deal where you learn a little bit more about him all the time?
You know what I know is he's learning something every day. You know, there's a I don't think sometimes people realize how much is on a kid's plate. You know, it's a hard position to play, and he's still growing in. He's still learning. He works very hard at it. He studies the game hard. But you know, every week's a little bit different. He's seeing different structures, different coverages, things that I think what it comes down to is you got to, and I know Tim's very conscious of this, of week to week, making sure that, you got to find that happy medium between, being able to attack somebody and game plan against somebody and do things specifically you think can exploit what people are doing, but also not going too far outside of a quarterback's comfort zone, because when you're putting things in, there's first and 10, you're going to see certain things in the middle of the field, you're going to see different things in the red zone. Third down is usually a totally different, almost a different game plan. There's a lot. And as much as we use the quarterback in the run game and the read game and all the different things, all those things can add up to a lot of, okay, well, this week, this certain thing, we want you to read it like this, and, they're going to play it this way, and then the next week it may change. And all those things can add up on a quarterback. And because it's not like this is the NFL and we're running an offense where it's just about reading coverage and that type of thing. He also has a lot of things on his plate as far as a run game, as far as understanding all the reads and getting us in and out of the right run plays. You got to find that, okay, how much is too much and how much is too little. You got to do enough to, you got to be able to get, game plan and attack somebody, but you also got to make sure you keep it within that zone where you can execute at a high level. And that's hard. That just comes with growth. And the more he's in them, the better he understands the offense, the more he grows, the more he continues to understand what's going on, the easier it's going to be. But that doesn't happen overnight. That's a process.
Too much for him being out in front of everybody like that, or I know he's mentioned he's a good leader, but is sometimes it too much for a kid that young?
He has great leadership skills, and he's a tremendous competitor. I mean, that part of that's one thing you never question about Tommy ever. But it's as far as being able to understand and execute and do everything from play to play, game to game, I think he's done a heck of a job, and I think he's getting better, and I think he's going to continue to get better. And, every week gives him another opportunity to keep growing, keep learning. I see him making big strides, and he's only going to keep getting better. He's still a young player who's playing an extremely difficult position to play, to master. And you look across the country, guys, and, it's you look on Sunday, it's a difficult position to play, and you're not going to be perfect. And I think he's done a heck of a job. I'm glad he's our quarterback.
He's pretty hard on himself, it seems.
Sometimes too hard on himself, but I think he's gotten better in that area.
What do you see from why we just have to Michigan State game? After that, he was pretty down, and everyone was, but what did you see? Did you have to say anything to him to pick him back up, or what did you notice from him?
No, when he walks on the field to go to practice, or he walks into the meeting room, he has one thing on his mind, and that's getting better. I think he's really matured. A year ago, You know, he has such high expectations for himself. Like I said, I think at times, especially at this time a year ago, he'd make a mistake and he would get he wasn't able to let it go. You see, right now, he knows when he makes a mistake or when something didn't go right, but he's on to the next thing, and he's talking about why he made that mistake. He's really matured in that way, which is a real positive, because you have to be that way, you know. And I know myself, I don't care whether it's a quarterback position or any, well, I've never seen anybody play a perfect game. And you're gonna face adversity. You're going to make some mistakes. You're gonna experience some failure. And when you do, that's when you got to be strong enough and mentally tough enough to move on to the next thing. And believe me, he's gotten so much better in that regards. I mean, he's really matured as far as that's concerned. And because it's one thing to make a mistake. There's another thing. It's important you understand why you made that mistake. And because that's the only way you correct it.
Anything new coming out of Northwestern?
No, we came out of it pretty good.
Is he still dealing with that knee a little bit? Seems like he's slow to get up sometimes.
He got it banged a couple days. Not just his knee, he got his thigh, and he got. Yeah, you know, he just found himself. He got wrapped up in a couple odd positions the other day, but he was fine yesterday. He was feeling pretty good.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, I mean, he doesn't get caught up in all that. He's not caught up in statistics and everything. He plays extremely hard. And, you know, he's a force. He's a force out there. And it doesn't matter how they're blocking it and whether they're turning their protections to him or what. Yeah, it makes it a little bit harder on him, but he still finds a way to be productive. And you know, it opens up. You know, if you're going to do that, it opens up one-on-ones on the other side, which I think we saw in the second half last week, that we're able to take advantage of some of that.
I know it takes time to build that sort of recruiting program, but at this point, do you feel like it's right where you want it to be? And is this maybe as strong or as momentous as you've had it since you've been here?
Yeah, I definitely like where we are in recruiting. I think that Sean, the administration, have done a heck of a job of giving us all the tools and, you know, we're sitting down and trying to figure out what we need, how to go about it. And I like what we have in place. I think we have some good momentum. I like where it is, where it stands right now. And hopefully we can finish this class off. But I feel like we're a lot further ahead I'm watching, you know, at a lot earlier time. And part of it is, you know, we won't have a huge signing class coming up this year because of the limited amount of seniors we have. But I've watched more 2016 guys this year than I remember, you know, in the past of getting that much further ahead. You know, for every 2015 guy I look at, I mean, I've looked, you know, two, three, four, five kids, and, you know, getting a lot more familiar, not myself, the staff, everybody getting ahead. And in this day and age, you have to.
Is that where the extra staff helps the most, is in identifying kids, not that are going to be committing here in a week, but in a year or a year and a half?
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, getting those kids on campus and getting familiar, you know, communicating with kids, you know, via you know, whether it be letters or social media and all those types of stuff, that you know, building relationships early on, you know, and not only to sometimes to even weed out guys that you say, okay, you know, I'm not going to waste my time there because I know there's no interest, or boy, this kid, you know, somebody you don't think is, you know, geographically is going to be real interested, but all of a sudden you find out, wow, there's a tie-in, you know, the boy, we have a really good shot at this kid, you know. And you know, the earlier on that happens, the better the better chance you have of saying, okay, this is our pool of guys that we're going to have to, we can spend our time on. Because, you know, you can't recruit everybody. It's, you know, you can narrow it down to, okay, these are the guys that, you know, there's a lot of good players out there. And, you know, number one, who fits you, who do you like, and who do you believe that can help you win a championship? But also, you know, who do we have a, you know, who do we have a shot at, who we get interest from, and who we don't.
You and the Big Ten are in favor of the NCAA rule change to allow parents to come on official visits. Do you anticipate there being pushback from leagues where they have the kids there already and the parents can come unofficially for relatively cheap? Leagues like the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12, do you anticipate pushback on that rule change from that, those leagues?
Yeah, I do a little bit, but, you know, and no, it's not. But I think that's always a problem in when they're making rules, you know, in the way this it's structured in the NCAA right now, is everybody has different agendas going on. It's like when you walk into a room for talk about rule changes and you have, you know, different subdivisions. They all have different issues that they're dealing with. That's why sometimes it doesn't always make sense, because you have a lot of different people who have different problems and different things that they have to deal with trying to, you know, put it under one umbrella. That doesn't always work. And but, you know, my whole sense of bringing parents on visits is, you know, if I'm a, you know, I just look at it from a parent standpoint, that if a kid, a 17, 18-year-old kid's getting ready to make a life-changing decision, his parents should be with him, because most kids, I mean, yeah, you have your small percentage of kids that are ready to weed out and be able to make their decisions for the right reasons. But, you know, you have a large majority of kids who aren't ready to make that kind of decision because they don't even know what's important at that point. And, you know, they should have their parents with them when they make this kind of decision, that, you know, help them see, okay, it isn't about the uniforms here, bud. You know, this is a 40-year decision. It's not about, you know, these are the things that are important here. And, you know, and I think that sometimes that gets lost. And, you know, I think it's real important that if a kid wants to get on a plane and go take a look at a school, his parents should be sitting next to him when he gets on that plane.
You've talked about, you know, the SEC in the past about, you know, how, you know, they get so much run because of the top teams in the conference, but, you know, overall, is it really that much better? I mean, four of the top five teams in the ratings this week are SEC West teams. I mean, are they overhyped or are they as good as advertised?
You know, Eric, I don't know. I think that'll play out as the season goes on. You know, we'll find out, you know. I mean, we'll see how that goes. They play good football, yeah. I know there's good football played in some other conferences too, you know. And it's hard to say because you just don't see, unfortunately, in this day and age, you know, you don't get a lot of crossovers. So you don't get a lot to make that decision on, you know, to be able to compare and contrast. You know, you have to go off of, you know, what the media says to a certain extent, or you know, some people say, and I don't know.
Do you think that the ESPN-SEC network relationship is kind of what, I guess, makes it a bigger deal than maybe it really is? That's been said.
I don't know. I don't think that kind of relationship is good for college football, but that's just my opinion.
Why that?
Because anytime you have a relationship with somebody, you know, you have a partnership. You're supposed to be neutral. It's pretty hard to stay neutral in that situation.
Briefly, go back to Ryan Reeves. He had kind of a scary injury last year. How nice is it just to kind of see him come back and be able to step in and be productive?
You know, Ryan is he stayed, you know, he's a team guy. He works hard every day, and he's getting better. He's gotten better, and he had some tough injuries, you know, and he stuck with it, and he just keeps working hard every day, and I'm seeing it pay off for him. It's good to see.
Hey, Coach BTN ran their documentary on Brooke Berenger. I mean, even though it was a long time ago, how much of an impact does he still have on this university?
Brooke, that was a little bit before my time, but obviously I was fully aware of. I've had a chance to meet his family, obviously he was a pretty special guy, and you know, somebody who stands for the things that he did. And, you know, is always will have an impact on any program forever. You know, the people that knew him and people he touched.
You mentioned third down offense, just being a lot more efficient, I guess, in the second half. What was the difference, do you think, just being able to come through when they did third down?
You know what, like I said, I thought Tommy made some big-time throws. And I thought structurally, you know, we had things that I thought we, you know, kind of saw how they were playing us and were able to exploit some things. And you know, we executed well in the second half. And some of those were some, you know, obviously some big conversions that helped keep some drives alive.
Feed energy into your team to see guys on the second team have a great week of practice, get a shot in the game, and then be able to produce and translate that to the game.
Well, I just talked to the team about it yesterday again. I just said, we had some. You put it on the film during the week, and you're going to get your opportunities on Saturday. We want to play a lot of people, but you're not going to put you out there just if you don't put it on the film during the week. And there's got to be that trust level you got to have that you show you can execute during the week. It isn't just going to magically happen on Saturday if you haven't practiced to a high level during the week. And I think some guys are, you know, guys understand that. And you see, you know, I mean, Kevin Williams, I used that example the other day. He had a great week of practice last week, and look what happened for him. I mean, he ended up, you know, had a really good game. And you know, and he, you know, obviously with him, the big thing is he's now healthy, which he hasn't been. So, but, you know, that's just an example. You know, you practice well during the week, and my experience, it usually pays off for you on Saturday.
Hey, Bo, Tommy Armstrong had that play where you left toward the end zone. Did your heart kind of skip a beat there as Tommy was because Jordan had one too where he went airborne. How do you coach him, and what do you say to those guys when they make those plays?
You know, you can't take a guy's aggressiveness. He's trying to make a play. You know, like I said, you know, my heart kind of maybe stops for a second when they do that. But, you know, when guys are out there competing, you can't, you know, you got to let them play. That's part of the game. I told him, I said, that was pretty good for somebody who didn't have any hops. But, thanks, guys.
Bo Pelini, head coach, Nebraska, and his weekly press conference getting ready for Rutgers. You can always tell, Jimmy Langan, the opponent, not necessarily by name, but the level of concern there is from Nebraskans by the tone of the press conference, because the last two-thirds of the press conference didn't talk about the football game one iota. So nobody is concerned about Rutgers. These are the McNeese State press conferences. These are the Florida International, Florida Atlantic. These are those type of press conferences. And respect not being given to Rutgers today. Not saying that we need to overhype Rutgers. I'm just saying when you get a press conference and you're not breaking down the other team and you're not really breaking. I mean, we get into recruiting. We get into Brooke Berenger. We get into the SEC. We get into fall break. We get into playing a night game. Or not playing night games anymore. I mean, three-fourths of this press conference was about other things. And they did touch on a few things, like the rotation on the offensive line and Tommy's
continued progression and how he bounced back from the first loss of the season. And Nate Gary was brought up, but not a whole lot on Rutgers.
No, none was brought up on Rutgers, if you're actually honest about it. I mean,
they talked more about the running back that got hurt from Rutgers.
Yes.
We'll take a break and go over our final thoughts on the press conference. Wrap things up for a Monday after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
For heavy jobs where you need some help, check out the American Power Pull for jobs that need more than 6 feet of lift. The max pull of 12 feet gives added versatility. Automatic notch at a time control, zinc plated steel, strong handle, and permanent contour grips make this power pull a strong second hand. Stop by Hardware Hank to pick one up today.
Many folks like to spruce up the house before the holidays, and everyone enjoys saving money doing it. So look at what ShopWheelerDealer.com has to offer. Gift certificates to Abbey Carpets and More. Log on to ShopWheelerDealer.com where you buy local and save big. To get daily deals of the day via text, text the words Wheeler Dealer to 90210. Gift certificates to Abbey Carpets and More. Log on to ShopWheelerDealer.com where you buy local and save big.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Dear Mike, sorry our relationship ended. I enjoyed our stops at Foot Convenience Plaza for beer, wine, snacks, and soda. Their delicious pizza, made fresh each day, was our favorite pizza in town. Foots will always remind me of you. Well, I'm running out of lipstick and space on your windshield. P.S. They have washer fluid at Foots.
Foots Convenience Plaza, the first stop coming into town and your last stop out. East Highway 30, Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Top of the show, we talked about our win in Pigskin Pick'em. Jimmy had the best of week this week in some very tight games and back-and-forth games, but let's get to the even bigger picture here, and then we'll wrap things up with our thoughts on Bo Pelini's press conference. A couple of points there. Jimmy goes 5-1 in his selections this week. Best week of the year. The only loss, Northwestern. And you think you still had the right side here because of some things that happened in the ballgame. You cannot, on Friday, predict that all of a sudden a torrential rainstorm comes in or somebody gets hurt or, you know, the wind kicks up 20 miles an hour more than you thought it would be or the light goes out and then you have to sit there in a delay for an hour and a half. And that might have affected the game. Of course, when Nebraska wins, it's all roses. So nobody talks about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, all you're trying to do is get on the correct side. A lot of things can happen. I mean, Iowa State played Texas, and that was one of my selections, and I actually thought that would be a lower scoring game. So sometimes, you know, just because you're on and you pick the side, I thought Iowa State could play with Texas, but I never dreamed that the game would be 97-94. You know,
it's like when you hit the putt and you start walking towards the hole because you missed it, and all of a sudden it goes in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, I didn't want to hit it like this, but hey, I think this is just right. Yeah, but I mean, but I had a good feeling on Kansas State over Oklahoma. I just thought that Oklahoma was overrated. We talked about that, and the Kansas State could play with him. And actually, Kansas State led the whole game. But could have, you know, late in the game, you know, I mean, that guy, they get the ball and they hold him at the 2-yard line. And, you know, and they missed an extra point. You know what I mean? So there were some things that let them win. But definitely Kent State was a good play, though. Kent State getting the points, and that thing wasn't even close.
Iowa State, Kent State, North Carolina State, Kansas State. So you made a statement this last weekend, and then you also had Missouri. So those were the five winners, Northwestern on the wrong side there. That puts Jimmy over 500 after the rough start to the year. You're clicking.
Yeah, and I think if he wanted to really look at this, Jeff, I think I'm like 13-2 in college underdogs the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, it's my other mistakes that are killing me, and I finally told you I was not going to do it. You know, you got to quit betting the daily double if you can't hit it.
I keep winning the first race, and I forget to hit the all button. Well, folks, Jimmy will have his picks again on Friday. Our Midtown Mart cooler question over the weekend, who wins the World Series and how? And, boy, you're really jumping up and down. 38% say the Royals in 4 or 5, and another 38% say that it'll be the Royals, but it'll go 6 or 7, and then there's 24% say the Giants in 6 or 7. Nobody's voting for the Giants to beat the Royals quickly. Game 1 tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio and The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Right now, our Midtown Mart cooler question is, which team has the better chance of finishing the year undefeated? Mississippi or Mississippi State? You can vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll run down the schedule for you real quick. Ole Miss, who is in the poll, the number 3 team, has to go to LSU, host Auburn. Then they play Presbyterian and have a bye at Arkansas, and then Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. On the other side, Mississippi State, number 1, at Kentucky, Arkansas, Tennessee Martin, Alabama, Vanderbilt, and then the matchup with Mississippi. Which team has the better? I'm going to say, you know, Mississippi's got a tougher schedule, and I think that's why Mississippi State's number 1. I mean, they still got to play LSU on the road and Auburn, and for Mississippi State, they got to play Alabama. I'll say that... Well, Alabama's going to beat Mississippi State because that's just what Alabama does. And I think Mississippi loses to Auburn. So which team has the better chance?
So what you're saying, neither.
I'm going to say Ole Miss. Defense is better. I don't know why. That'll be my pick.
Well, anybody after Alabama, the way they played this week, I don't want to play them. I'd rather play Auburn than Alabama, you know. So,
no kidding. ESPNSuperstation.com, vote on the Midtown Mark cooler question. A couple things we bring out that I took from Bo Pelini's press conference today. The first one, he doesn't like the night games. And we've heard that before from coaches and players, that they essentially lose a day. If you can get up, get your breakfast, leave the hotel room, you go to the stadium, you play your game, you're out of there by 4 o'clock in the afternoon unless something weird happens. I mean, totally out of there. And that gives you a Saturday night to relax, go party if you're the kids, hang out with your family, whether you're the kids or the coaches, and do something instead of sitting around all day and then straight to bed, up the first thing in the morning on Sunday, and back at it again. So I can understand that. Fans love night games because it gives you the whole day to either party, get something done, drive down, don't have to spend the night before. You might have to spend that night. You never know how it plays out. So I thought it was interesting that he was more happy to not be playing night games and be playing road or home games. Talked about Nate Gary a little bit, the offensive line rotation. He's not doing cartwheels. I mean, the coaches aren't going to do that, just like they're not going to throw the kids under the bus either as far as any injuries. If there were any, he didn't get too crazy about that. And I think just answering a lot of questions with, you know, it's getting later in the season. Tommy Armstrong's getting better. We're converting third downs better. We're doing things like we're coached to do. And that's kind of what I got out of the press conference today. Anything that stood out to you that I didn't mention?
No, I thought it was interesting. I think somebody, you know, like you said, sometimes maybe somebody asked him to ask a question about the parents being able to go to a recruiting visit. I thought that was interesting. I agree that their parents should be able to go to that recruiting visit. If you're trying to recruit football players to come to your school, I see nothing wrong with that because that is a decision that the whole family would want to make. But, Doug, you know, the only thing I got out of it, Nebraska won on the road. That's huge. To win on the road in the conference was a huge, absolutely huge win to be able to win on the road. I think it's very important. I mean, because that's what it's going to get down to. If we can win at Wisconsin and at Iowa, that's going to be, you think we can take care of business at home. So that's exactly what I'm like. That was a big road win.
Monday Night Football tonight, it will be the Jared Crick Houston Texans taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know we have a lot of Steeler fans in the area. I hope you lose. Dallas is 6-1. Big win yesterday. They keep winning, so put those two together. Some interesting games in the NFL yesterday. And again, it just shows you you can't outguess what's going on in Vegas, and you can't outguess what's going on. I'm a little concerned about Atlanta. A little concerned about Atlanta and why Carolina doesn't play better. I didn't think the Packers' defense is very good, and they didn't even give them a chance yesterday. They were down 21-0 out of the gate. Tomorrow, Daryl Morris coming in after his 100th victory. UNK head football coach Tony Harper, they go into a bye week coming off a win. We'll talk with the head coach there. Their quarterback got injured over the weekend. We'll get an update there as well. Volleyball tonight, the Twin Valley Conference wraps up at Kennesaw. Red Cloud, Blue Hill at 6 in the consolation. Lawrence Nelson, Silver Lake in the championship at 7:30. I'll be in Minden as the Whippets take on Ord live on Classic Hits 98.9 around 7 o'clock. And we want to thank Monty Kratz tonight for coming in, giving us some Husker analysis today. Jimmy, we'll see you later in the week, all right?
Yeah, see you Friday.
Folks, have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!